Thank you all for coming this morning. I've been going through Isaiah 9:6 the last 3 weeks, and today I'll be finishing up Isaiah 9:6, looking at the prophetic names of Jesus in that verse. And we've looked at Mighty God. Well, let's just read the verse. Give me a second here. I'll get it up on the screen. Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We've looked at Wonderful Counselor, we've looked at Mighty God, we've looked at Everlasting Father, and today we will be finishing up with looking at Prince of Peace. He will be called Prince of Peace. This was kind of an interesting one because it was only a few weeks ago I was preaching a little on peace with Jesus. And you might recall I read Matthew 10:34, and I didn't think that I could just jump into my message today without covering reviewing some of what I talked about already. Let's read Matthew 10:34. Do not suppose I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Well, Jesus tells us something here that's a little hard to grasp. The reference here is that there will be a division among the people because of Christ. There will be some people who will believe and place their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and there will be those who will not place their faith in Christ. And even some of them will persecute those who do believe in Jesus. Jesus' presence will not only cause division, but there's even wars that will be fought between these groups. But let's look at Jesus' birth for a few minutes. I'll be looking at Luke 2, verses 10 through 14. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, and there will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Jesus, the child to be born, the son was given, is announced to a number of shepherds. And then hundreds or thousands of voices, the heavenly host began praising God in unison, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." The angel said there would be peace. The angel said there would be peace. But we know a short time later that if we continue reading on in Luke, we'll know that King Herod heard about Jesus being born. Instead of responding in peace, Herod seeks to kill this baby. And just to make sure that this baby, Jesus, is not missed, he orders that all two-year-old boys and younger, be killed in this area. Can you imagine the horror for many families? A group of thugs breaking in your house and taking your child? On earth, peace to men. Where is the peace for those families? And we don't have to look any further than our local newspaper or our news on TV to see that there's a lack of peace in our world. But some of you may say, yes, that there is still sin in the world, and people will still follow their own sinful desires. And that's true, so true. But how many of our families in church? How about the families in our church? Do we all have peace? I think many of you are probably thinking that's a trick question. Do we have peace? You know, we don't have to go very far, even in our own families. Just looking at marriages, for instance. Marital conflicts are not always peaceful. Some disagreements may push the boundaries, and peace may seem to be lacking. How about finances? When the finances are tight, especially around Christmas time, when everybody wants to buy Christmas presents, finances might be really tight, and you may be wondering how you're going to pay your next bill. You may not feel the peace. A loss of a loved one, or facing a serious illness or a physical disability, it might be a stretch to say that you are at peace with what has happened. I know we have several farmers in here, so I threw this in. How about on the farm? When everything is needing to be done, equipment is failing, workers are disappearing, and the hours that you are having to work are taking its toll on you physically and even emotionally or even relationally with your family. You might want to say that there is peace, but after the tractor breaks down for the umpteenth time, your thoughts may have nothing to do with peace. You're asking yourself a question. Where's the peace? Where is my peace? So Jesus himself has admitted that he did not come to bring ultimate peace to all things on earth. We can say that by experience. We know that. There will be an ultimate peace to come to all things on earth, but that's not going to happen until Jesus' second coming. But here in Isaiah 9:6, he is called the Prince of Peace. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. So what peace is he the Prince of? Let's take a moment to look at that name, Prince of Peace. The word Prince is Sar in Hebrew. And not only does it mean prince, but it also means chief. It means ruler. It means captain. This is a person who oversees something, like a chief over a tribe, or the ruler over a kingdom, or a captain over a ship. The Prince of Peace is the overseer of peace. But what peace? Peace in Hebrew is shalom. Many of you may have heard that word before. Shalom is a common greeting in the Jewish community, and you also find it on various greeting cards nowadays because that word has become more commercialized or more well known. But shalom, it does mean peace. But it means so much more than just peace. Shalom is complete peace. It is a feeling of contentment. It is completeness, wholeness, well-being, and harmony. Jesus is the overseer of peace. He's the overseer of wholeness and harmony. And as the overseer of peace, he has the authority to give this peace. But get this, as the overseer of peace, he also has the authority to withdraw it. Did you ever think about that? Because I always thought if Jesus is the Prince of Peace, then it would always be about giving peace, not taking it away. And now we come to that sovereignty topic again, the one that we often struggle with. You see, Jesus may allow us to suffer some. He may allow us to walk through trials. He may allow us to feel out of balance or out of peace in order that we may turn to Him, that we may place our trust in Him more. Remember a few weeks ago I talked about the Apostle Paul, and he basically said, "When I am at my weakest point, I am strong because Jesus is in control." When I am at my weakest point, I am strong because Jesus is in control. It's usually when we are at that weakest point that we are having to place all our trust on Jesus because we don't have any control over it anymore. We need to have the trust and faith that Jesus has everything under control. And here's something else. It's not our peace that we receive, it's the peace of Jesus Christ. It is His peace that we are to receive. Now, obviously, when thinking about just life, there are times that we make decisions or that we do things that take us down an uncomfortable road. Our poor choices have consequences, and you may find ourselves in a whole lot of turmoil that could have been avoided had we just made better choices too. Sometimes we do something that we may find ourselves getting hurt. And then we're pleading with Jesus, "Where's the peace?" But we're not making the decisions to follow Christ, which is leading into my next verse here. I'll be looking at John chapter 14, verses 23 through 27. John 14. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Those words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Now, I could have just read that last verse, that verse 27, but there's a lot of good information coming before it. That first verse I read in verse 23, "If you love me, you will obey my teaching." Take a moment to reflect on that question, or the question, "If you love me." So I ask, do you love Jesus? And maybe I should define that word love a little bit more. The word love here comes from agapao, or agape love. Many of you may have heard of agape. This is a love based on a choice. It is not affected by emotions or those fuzzy feelings. So I'll ask it again. Do you love Jesus unconditionally, no matter what you may be going through, no matter what is going on around you? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Him in the good times and in the bad? Do you love Him in the most exciting times? And do you love Him in the times of tragedy. You see, only you can answer those questions. Looking on in that John chapter 14 passage, we see that loving Jesus brings us back into a relationship with God the Father. There's peace in that. But let's read some more scripture. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The world around us is full of sin. Without Jesus, what do we have? Without Jesus, we do not have that gift of eternal life. We don't have that hope. When we're celebrating Christmas, we're celebrating the coming of Jesus, because Jesus was the ultimate gift, in that in Him we have eternal life to look forward to. Let's read another Romans passage. Romans 5:12. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Without Jesus, there would be no hope of anything better. Without Jesus, there would be no peace, because we are under the sentence of death, because all have sinned. Without Jesus, there is no peace between us and God the Father. So with the coming of Jesus, we can know a peace, because there's going to be a peace between us and God the Father. Let's read some more Romans passages. Romans 5, the second half of 15 through 17. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God. Even though we are guilty of many sins, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. With Jesus, there is a peace that we are no longer ruled by death. We're no longer ruled by sin. But we now have something greater, and that's God's grace and forgiveness. We have a renewed relationship with God the Father again. There is a peace when we look at it from that perspective. There is peace. Looking back at John 14, looking at verse 23 says, if you love Jesus, then you will obey His teaching. But literally means to keep His word. If you love Jesus unconditionally, then you will want to keep His word. And in doing so, you will find peace. There is peace in His word. There is peace found when God the Father and Jesus come and make their home in us. There is peace when the Holy Spirit, the counselor, comes in to further teach and remind us of Jesus' word. You see, we might live in a world of chaos, in a world of sin, in a world of pain and suffering. And we may live in troubled times, but when we love Jesus, again, that deep, unconditional love, when we love Jesus, we are told in verse 27 that He will give us His peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. And with that peace, We need not be troubled or afraid of our circumstances. Getting back to that word shalom. Again, it meant peace, but it also meant wholeness. With Jesus, we are made whole. We are completed because He is now dwelling in us. We have His peace because He gives us wholeness. Does that mean we're always going to feel those warm, fuzzy feelings? No, it's not. But Jesus, He does allow us to go through some things. Use those times to draw closer to Him. And we know that there is a peace in knowing that our future is secure with Jesus. I think about those that are dying for their faith in the Middle East. There is a peace to be had in knowing, no matter what happens here, there's a future ahead of them greater than anything going on here. And so this takes me down another little road. This is where sometimes that idea of peace gets a little tough. Because we need to ask ourselves another question. Do I really trust Jesus? Do I really believe and trust that Jesus has everything taken care of? That can be hard. Whether in times of weakness or strength, or in times of need or prosperity, in times of sorrow or joy, times of conflict or peace, do we really trust Jesus all the time, in every place, everywhere? It is in that trust that we will find a peace that surpasses understanding. No matter what is going on around us. You know, I've read this upcoming passage a number of times, but it fits just about everywhere. Philippians 4:6. One I have posted on my wall next to my computer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And what? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. With full trust, we do not need to be afraid or stressed. When we have a need, tell the Lord about it. Be thankful for all that He has done, especially around Christmas. We can thank Him for coming and living with us and being a part of us and coming as our Savior. We can give thanks for a lot of things. And then we will also find a peace that transcends understanding. It's an amazing verse. It's not always easy, but it's amazing, and it's a promise. Looking at a psalm the other day, looks like I don't have it in here. Psalm 56:3. It's a short psalm. But Psalms 56:3 says, "When I am afraid, I will trust in You. When I am afraid, I will trust in You." Trust. Do we really trust Him? In Isaiah 9:6, we're told that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Even when there is chaos around us, the Prince of Peace is there, and our trust in Him will give us an unexplainable peace.